Good afternoon. Good morning. This is a difficult subject, and a lot of times when I try to get folks to think this through, they often sort of shrink back and feel uncomfortable, especially mixed audiences. And yet I don't believe that anything that is important and pertinent to our lives, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable, is something that should be avoided. Because let's be honest, if Satan is given a monopoly on this discussion, he is the evil one, is going to win. And he is constantly, through many venues, seducing and deceiving people into taking this poison into their minds and their hearts. And we have to warn people and to be forearmed about this as much as possible. To remain silent simply means that Satan wins and we sort of run up the white flag. So my desire in this session is to expose his lies and to shed light on this awful darkness in order that all of us can achieve victory in either avoiding this or overcoming it if we are struggling with this particular sin. Those who practice evil hate the light. And Jesus said that the evil won't come to the light lest their evil deeds be exposed. So it's our job to shed light on this darkness. And we're going to be doing that today and talking about some biblical antidotes to the poison of pornography. By way of introduction, I want to start off with a positive note. You know, it's really unfortunate, but we live in such a world that there's so much perversion about sexuality that many people think about sex and they're always immediately embarrassed, and they often think that it's somehow rather inherently dirty instead of, in God's plan, inherently holy and good. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge." So make no mistake about it, in its place, this is holy and good and righteous. Years ago, there was a class, and the Bible class teacher asked the students, many of them were middle school students, who invented sex? And this eighth grader raised his hand and said, "The devil did." And how unfortunate that that was his initial response. That is so wrong. God, who is holy, created sex, and in its place, it is not just holy, it is good and wholesome. And it's supposed to be designed in the advent of a family so that you can eventually have offspring. And it's also designed by God to be pleasurable, both for the male and the female. And the reason for this is because God designs this to create a special bond between the partners, to hold them together until death do them part. In Proverbs chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, Solomon said, "Rejoice in the wife of thy youth, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, be thou ravished with her love." That is God's counsel. In its place, it is wholesome and right and good. But sadly, as Daryl mentioned earlier, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 29 says, "God hath made man upright, but they," men, "have come up with many devices or inventions," I would say perversions, "so that people often think about something that God designed in a wonderful way. They've so turned things around upside down, they have perverted it so that people think of it as being dirty, when of course it is not. God's sexuality in its place is beautiful. It is about babies and bonding. May we never forget that. Secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12 through 20, gives us some very helpful foundational principles for us to think about as we go through this material. First of all, he says in 1 Corinthians 6 that your body is a member of Christ's body, so there's a spiritual dimension here. He says the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And know you not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I take away the members of Christ and make them one with a harlot? God forbid. So the point seems to be that when we become one in the body of Christ, if one of us sins in this manner and joins ourselves to a harlot, that we're actually defiling the whole body, that there are spiritual implications here. And joining with a harlot means you become one flesh. It doesn't mean you become married. It simply means you're bonded to this immorality and to this person to which you have no right to be bonded to in a way that defiles you and the body of Christ. It fascinates me that the Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have from God? So this is a unique sin that is different than all other types of sins. I think we're going to find that there are some very significant mental connections that are established, and there's some physiological changes that are damaging to a person and their mind and their heart that is unlike other sins. And sexual immorality, of course, does not glorify God. He says at the very end of this, glorify God in your body. Don't do things that would do the exact opposite. Okay, what I'd like to do, just as quickly as I can this morning, is to focus quickly on a definition, the prevalence of pornography today, its addictive nature, its sinfulness, and finally some thoughts about the remedy. So let's start with the definition of pornography. Pornography actually is composed of two Greek words, the first porne, meaning harlot, which is akin to another word which means to sell, and the second word is graphein, meaning to write. In other words, pornography is literally the writing of harlots or the writing of prostitutes. Till the mid-19th century, the Greek word that was often used in the English was pornographos, which later on was just simply changed to pornography, the word we think about today. You know, when we think about pornography, we always think about typically things visual, at least I do. And that certainly is a part of what's involved. But originally, it was about the writings of prostitutes, before visual images were so easily transmitted to us. And so it's all about your imagination and your thinking, and even reading erotic literature would certainly be included when we talk about pornography. According to Webster's Dictionary, it is the depiction of erotic behavior, it's books or photographs that depicts this behavior that is intended to cause sexual arousal or excitement. And most of us, when we stumble across something like this, we know exactly whether it is appropriate or not. All right, so how prevalent is pornography today? Well, it's become especially prevalent since the advent of the internet. And research has found that 80 to 94%, depending on your income level, of homes have internet access where pornography can very easily be viewed. And in addition to that, since 2007, the advent of the smartphone, about 85% of middle schoolers and high schoolers have regular access to their own smartphone. And that's very, very important. I was sort of surprised to hear this, but 90% of all porn is viewed on smartphones. And so parents, you need to recognize your children won't die if they don't have a smartphone. And those dumb phones, which don't give access to the internet, can provide contact without the temptation that is often involved in enabling people to have access to the internet through their phones. One writer said, would you give your child a loaded gun and just sort of say, good luck? No, and in many ways, today's smartphones, without the proper filtering on them, sort of analogous morally to giving your child a loaded gun. I'm amazed how many people that are addicted to porn and then talk about it and how difficult it is to deal with those consequences. They usually started off fairly young and in some sort of innocent circumstance. One person reported that he was doing a report and inadvertently came across a pornographic image, and he immediately pulled away from it. But then he started thinking about it. It made an impression on him, and so out of curiosity, he went back to it. And then over time, he wound up becoming addicted to it. I mean, this can be just extremely compelling, especially to a young person. And so we need to understand the dangers that are out there and be forewarned and forearmed. Here's some quick stats that I can give you. I received this from the Covenant Eyes. There's a website. It's a blocking software that I would recommend to you. They talk about Barna Group and Pew Research and other things that describe the tremendous poisonous effects of pornography, as well as how amazingly prevalent it is. I was shocked by these statistics. 12% of the websites out there on the internet are pornographic. Every second, 28,258 internet users are viewing porn. And 40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites. And 1 in 3 porn viewers are women. I was shocked by that. I thought this was primarily a male issue. 1/3 of the porn viewers apparently are female. And what this is doing is it is normalizing in the minds of these women who watch this things that everyone used to understand was inappropriate and perverted. And so it's completely changing the norms of sexuality, and I fear turning many people, both men and women, over into a depraved mind, which Paul warned about in Romans chapter 1. Furthermore, in the U.S., internet porn pulls in $2.84 billion per year, and the entire worldwide industry is worth $4.9 billion. 2.5 billion emails per day are pornographic. That's 8% of all emails. 25% of all search engine requests are pornographically related. That's 68 million a day. Wow. Talk about the pornification of our culture. 20% of men admit to watching porn online at work, and 13% of women admit to doing so, which shows the risks that people are willing to take in order to view this when they would do it at work, where oftentimes they're monitored and sometimes they can lose their jobs as a result. Thought this was interesting. The least popular day of the year for viewing porn is Thanksgiving. The most popular day of the week for viewing porn is Sunday. Wow, isn't that ironic? On the Lord's Day, instead of worshiping God, many people stay at home, they have the day off, and they're at home bowing down instead to the god of self-gratification found in porn. It's fascinating. In pagan theology, their worship was associated with the fertility cult and a lot of sexual inappropriate conduct. And so that's what's happening to many people today. Instead of worshiping God, they are back to worshiping some sort of inappropriate sexuality. So they're calling this the pornification of popular culture. Another very disturbing statistic is that 11 is the age at which the average child is first exposed to porn. Talk about destroying childhood innocence. And we're going to find out why that is true in just a moment. But wow, these young minds, not even adolescents yet, preteen, are not able to handle those kind of graphic images and to process them appropriately. And many of them, as a result, can be damaged in many ways for the rest of their lives. 90% of males say they've seen porn before they reach 18, and 60% of females. 71% of young adults view unsolicited porn each month. Keep that in mind. This is pornography that they didn't seek after. This is something that was sort of pushed upon them. More about that later. 30% of teens are involved in sexting, which is basically sending a nude photo to one of their peers, typically. They actually came out with an app known as Snapchat that is designed specifically to help people send out messages that will, in a certain amount of time, 20, 30 seconds or something, just disappear. So the idea is that you can send this out and you're not going to get caught. So parents, I'm not really sure why anybody would need some app like that. And 33% of teens today say that they think pornography is wrong. And as this has become more and more common in our culture, people that are just surrounded by this all the time begin to embrace it and act like it is no big deal. Do not believe the lies that people say about pornography. It is not some innocent pastime. It's not just some sort of spice to life. It destroys lives, and the consequences can be devastating on so many different levels. So why has this come about, especially since 2007? Well, 2007 is when Apple came out with the first smartphone. And as they have basically saturated our culture, it especially has grown in tremendous proportions. The reason is what they refer to as the three A's of porn. The first is accessibility. It is available to anyone, anywhere, at any time. And unlike normal healthy sexual relations, like in a marriage, where you sometimes get turned down or you have to wait or the other party's not available, porn's always available. And you don't have to worry about being rejected. So there's obviously an appeal to that. Secondly, it is affordable. In fact, most of the people who watch porn, they're watching free sites, and then they later get hooked, and then they want something even more graphic, and that's when they decide to sign up for these additional websites that bring in billions of dollars. Perhaps the biggest thing that has changed, particularly with the advent of the internet and the smartphone, is the anonymity factor. People used to have this natural barrier of reading pornography is because you had to go to some certain place where you might be seen, and there were all these barriers involved. All that's gone now. You can just take your phone in a closet or in your car or just almost any place that you want to, and you can find that you can do it in a covert way. And so this darkness of pornography and these evil imaginations, they're just blossoming in our culture. And as I mentioned, there's a fourth A, and I would simply call this aggressive. Because in our culture, we tend to act like that it is morally acceptable, even in some cases kind of a rite of passage for adolescents, there are not any restrictions in marketing porn. It's fascinating to me. There's all types of restrictions about marketing cigarettes because they recognize that that habit can be deadly. There's none of those kind of restrictions upon people that in a very predatory fashion are just pushing pornography and trying to get people hooked on pornography in so many ways, particularly through the internet and social media. So porn essentially trains men and women to be consumers of sex and just focus on sexual pleasure, not lovers. To treat sex as a commodity is sadly what is happening in our culture. And of course what that does is that just destroys intimacy and the proper kind of bonds that God intended for the sexual relationship. Actually, one of the things that I found particularly alarming is that among teens and young adults, they today believe when you ask them what actions do you consider always or usually wrong, fourth on this list of terrible taboos in our culture is not recycling. And way down nine on the list is the idea of viewing pornographic images. And only 32 to 33% actually even think that it's wrong at all. So, wow, talk about an upside down world. They think it's more morally objectionable not to recycle than to view pornographic images. It's just an amazing turn of events. And the other thing that I want all of us as Christian parents and grandparents to realize is when they do studies of where kids view digital porn, 79% of the viewing is done in their own homes, oftentimes on their own unfiltered, unmonitored computers or smartphones. So it seems to me as Christians that we need to do everything we can to make our homes a safe place. And be careful about the friends that your children have and sleepovers and things like that, because maybe your device is filtered, but maybe their friends is not. It's very common for people to report that their first viewing of porn is at some friend's house. By the way, I would recommend to you something called Net Nanny, which is where you can put it on your phone and your children's phone, and you can actually go back and see all the different websites that they are visiting. I think that would be a very good, prudent thing, just to be careful so you are aware and not in the dark. Now, before we talk about the addictive dangers associated with this and how Jesus has discussed this, I want to talk about how the eyes are rightfully seen as the windows to the soul. And what you allow in, particularly through your eyes, to feast upon, how debilitating that can be to your heart and to your soul. Notice what Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body, so then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? Wow, isn't that interesting that Jesus says the eye is the lamp of the body? And my question is, how dark have things become? To the pure, all things are pure. To the profane, to the defiled, all things are defiled. And so, because testosterone does not deplete quickly, people that are avid porn watchers find that they have higher testosterone levels for many, many hours afterwards. And so oftentimes they find themselves, even after they're done with their porn viewing, looking at the opposite sex in ways they would not otherwise, and being tempted in ways they would not be otherwise. There are just so many insidious effects of getting yourself involved in this kind of activity. The American Family Association has been warning about porn addiction for many, many years. The AMA, American Medical Association, and others have been reluctant to agree that this is a real problem. They're now beginning to jump on board, the more studies that have done, and the more negative impact it is showing for people who have been around internet porn long enough as adolescents to find that it's impacting them negatively. In fact, Time Magazine, not a conservative publication by any stretch of the imagination, back on April 11th, 2016, has a lead article about porn and talking about how it needs to be avoided. It says, why young men who grew up with internet porn are now becoming the advocates for turning it off. Very interesting article. I'm going to give you a handout at the end of today's session, and you can download that Time article if you're interested in reading it. It's very alarming when even those who originally were at the head of the sexual revolution are seeing its negative impacts and trying to sound the alarm. So, porn is very addictive in its nature, and until I went to study for this, I really had no idea how much so and what's really going on. So, how dark can it get? Addiction is when a person is physically or psychologically enslaved to a certain behavior or habit that they feel they can't live without. Furthermore, addiction is a primary chronic disease of the brain, reward, motivation, memory, and related circuitry, a dysfunction in these circuits which seek reward. You know, it used to be that the longer a person was married, the more likely they were to stay married. But now there's been a real spike in divorces in this country of people that have been married 25, 35, 45 years. And they're finding out that in many cases, wives are divorcing their husbands because they have found they've gotten hooked on porn. And 56% of all divorces today report that problems with pornography is a contributing factor to the marriage breaking up. So, what's happening in the brain? I want you to notice, these are actual MRI scans, and it compares non-porn users with compulsive pornography users. And I want you to notice this reward center in the brain that when they showed people erotic images, the reward center indicating some sort of pleasure or arousal, lights up. But in the compulsive pornography users, I want you to notice that reward center has expanded 4 to 5 times because of constant use. It's apparently kind of like a muscle that gets bigger and bigger the more that it is exercised. And there's actually a remapping in the neural pathways of people's brains as they are overly sensitive to sexual stimuli. It's one of the reasons why it is so addictive. And this was really shocking to me. Look over to the left. There's a healthy brain with all the gray matter intact. Then the thing right to the right says, here's your brain on heroin, where a lot of the gray matter has actually died and has been replaced because of issues with that drug. And notice the brain of someone who is chronically addicted to pornography. It looks very similar to the brain of someone on heroin or cocaine. So this literally fries your brain because you are causing yourself to be awash in these chemicals and hormones that have negative effects. I want you to notice this, they call this the science of love. You want to read more details about this, you can download the Porn Circuit, Understand Your Brain and Break Porn Habits in 90 Days, that's available off of this Covenant Eyes website. Just fascinating to me. There's a natural desire, testosterone in men and estrogen in women, that is good and healthy. But then when you find yourself engaging in sexual activity, then there's this release of dopamine and serotonin. And dopamine is what activates that reward center in the middle of the brain that you saw earlier on those MRI scans. And it actually affects your prefrontal cortex, where a person makes decisions. And then typically at climax, there is the release of oxytocin, which is kind of referred to in some circles as the cuddle hormone. It's also released when women are nursing their babies. It creates this bonding effect, this feeling of peace and satisfaction. And so all of these things are released to a great degree when a person winds up just filling their brain with all of this stimuli. Think about someone that's drunk. We know that when they're awash with alcohol, their brain doesn't function very well and they lose their natural inhibitions. The same thing is true with pornography addiction. Think of tying your shoe. You just sort of do it without thinking. And after a while, you have so worn this pathway in your brain that you've gone to over and over again that it goes to that every time a person has some sort of trigger that causes them to want to have some sort of pleasure. Think about the goat. They are creatures of habit, and they will follow one another and tend to do the same thing over and over again. But after they have gone through the same path over a number of weeks or months, eventually they form a path. And then it's really easy to follow down that path again. That's exactly what happens psychologically when we continue to light up these reward centers and we find that our brain and our bodies are flushed with all of these chemicals that so affects our decision-making that we often feel like we just have no control over it. And that's why people often have to go to literally these centers that are made specifically to help people get off of pornography. Makes me think of Romans 7. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, and yet there's also something in me that wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but then I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. And he says, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Sounds like some people I know who have had it, they want to stop, but they just find they just can't. It's a terrible, wretched feeling and battle. When someone views pornography, they end up creating an intimate bond with an artificial fake world and can actually lose the ability to bond with real people. So, obviously, this is something about which people need to understand and they need to flee it lest they get involved and sucked into this in the way that so many people have. Only 33% of young people today think that porn is a problem, that it's sinful. So this should go without saying, but let me just bring up some basic points about the sinfulness of porn. It is clearly coveting something that does not belong to you. Coveting somebody else's body that has not been given to you in marriage. It obviously is a form of lust. Lust is an inordinate desire that leads to evil imagination. Jesus says it's not harmless or victimless. In fact, in God's sight, he that looks or gazes upon a woman in order to lust after her, you're kind of mentally undressing her in your mind, has already committed adultery in their hearts. The Bible warns about allowing our eyes to feast upon detestable things, because that defiles the heart within. And objectifying another human being as a sex object to be used instead of loved is a terrible and selfish way to cheapen our sexuality. It's a form of voyeurism when you stop and think about it. Would you peek through your neighbor's window to look at them while they're undressing? Even if they gave you permission, then why would you view pictures of naked women? Damages your own mind and creates a bond where none should exist. It's a perversion. It's lust. It's voyeurism. And it's clearly a violation of one's marriage vows. Let's remember 1 Corinthians 7. But to avoid immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. And the husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to the husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. I think the King James says that you actually have power over each other's bodies, your sexuality. That happens at the altar when you become one. And he concludes, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent. And so when someone strays in this area, they're giving away something that they have no right to give away. Because their spouse, if they're married, is the one who has the right to that sexuality and vice versa. And so he says, this is a wonderful thing. Just keep that in its proper place. And one woman said, when she found out about her husband being addicted to porn, she said, it is beyond devastating to my soul what he has chosen to do with all these other women in his mind, and how much thinking about that hurts me and causes me disgust. And so no wonder 56% of divorces today, this is a factor. Wow, has the devil ever used technology in a way that causes him to destroy families? You know, technology is morally neutral. It's not inherently evil or good. We just have to be so careful how it is used or misused. And as Chad mentioned in his introduction, it is really today's idolatry. I want you to listen to Ezekiel 27 through 10. This is actually a reference back to the children of Israel in Egypt and how God had told them to cast away the detestable things that your eyes feast upon, every one of you, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt, for I am the Lord your God. But they rebelled and did not listen to me. None of them cast away the detestable things their eyes feasted upon, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Notice the connection between letting your eyes feast upon detestable things and idolatry. Probably another reference, as I mentioned, to the idea of a fertility cult. In Romans chapter 1, we talk about people that worship and serve the creatures rather than the Creator. Porn is a worship of the human body and an unlawful expression of our sexuality, which leads to dishonorable passions and unnatural relations. And so if there's any doubt in any Christian's mind whether this is appropriate behavior or not, certainly we can look at these verses and concepts and realize that it is more than just inappropriate. It is just something that's disgusting and completely can lead someone to have a depraved mind. So as bad as that is, we need to recognize that there is a remedy and there is hope. Do not despair. It's never too late. There is reconciliation and renewal after sexual sin, obviously. And it is very possible to create new pathways in your brain, and as you don't travel the prior pathways and circuits that were set up by watching porn, and you start replacing it instead with other more healthy alternatives, you can overcome this. In fact, in this excellent booklet I mentioned, The Porn Circuit, they talk about a 90-day fast and how critical it can be to just block those pathways for 90 days. And in so doing, you can then begin to replace the old pathways with new ones. It's fascinating to me how they work out, not just trying through willpower to say, oh, I shouldn't get on porn. No, I shouldn't do that. I don't want to do that. The more you kind of say, no, 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 the more you tend to think about porn and you tend to lose willpower. You need to glance at it for a moment, deal with it, and then replace it with a new positive pathway. A renewing of the mind is what's necessary as a way to solve this particular problem. So let's look at the remedy here in the few moments we have left. I think the first thing a person needs to do, and one of the reasons why I went through so much of the damage that this can cause a marriage and true intimacy and even your own brain cells, is I want you to think about this. If you're someone who is involved in this, or you know someone who is, help them to grasp that they should not believe Satan's lies. They shouldn't minimize this. They need to come clean and admit this sin and deal with it for what it is and truly be moved with godly sorrow. So important for people to really humble themselves and to come clean. Secondly, you need to cut off all sources. This needs to be done proactively so your home is safe. But also, if this is a problem, you need to block devices with filters. And in the handout that Brother Jack Hafer has put together, a good friend of mine, he has some great resources on the subject that I recommend to you. He lists 5 or 6 different internet and movie filtering. Some of them are free, that you can put on your devices to at least make sure that those devices are blocked. Now keep in mind, their friends' devices may not be blocked, so these kids need to be warned about that up front. And then you need to be accountable to someone. It's not just come forward and confess that this is something that I'm struggling with. I mean, that might be a start if you wanted to, but the key seems to be appointing a brother, not your spouse, but somebody hopefully in the church that you respect, that you can go to regularly and you can report on your progress. And the fact that you know that you're going to have to report to this person helps give you another incentive to avoid this temptation and to be successful in overcoming it, and to have someone that's not going to judge you but just going to help you have victory over this is one of the keys to overcome any kind of addiction, especially that seems to be true with porn addiction. I think of Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that conceals his sin shall not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces it shall find mercy. And of course, James 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another, pray ye one for another that ye may be healed. I fear that sometimes in the Lord's body, that this is one of those neglected verses, that we think the only time you confess your sin is when you come forward at the invitation song, instead of, you know, being open with our brothers and sisters and saying, you know, I'm really struggling with this. Would you pray for me about that? The person says, well, I'm struggling with that too. Would you pray for me? Kind of iron sharpeneth iron. I mean, you need to have that kind of relationship in the family, and you certainly need to make yourself accountable to some third party on a regular basis. And that is one of the keys to freedom. And as I mentioned, renew your mind and dwell on positive alternatives. Those neural circuits in your brain can be reprogrammed. One writer said, think about it as building a wall of strength against sin. Every day you stop dealing with the porn and you start instead doing with something else that is positive. It's like putting a brick in a wall. And every day you build another brick and another brick and another brick until finally you have this wall against sin that can give you strength. And that what used to appeal to you, hopefully you say, thank God I'm delivered from that. And that's, of course, where we want all people to be. There's such shame associated with this particular sin, and I certainly understand that. In some venues, people even want it to be talked about, and I don't enjoy talking about this, but boy, is this ever needful. And if these statistics are true about how many men and women are viewing this, even professed Christians, I'd be very surprised if there aren't people even in this audience today that either have struggled or maybe are currently struggling with this. And I just want to encourage you to take this handout, this bibliography here, and these resources that are available there in the foyer as you walk out. There are resources available. There are things that can be done. You just don't want to put it off. In fact, the one best book that I would recommend on this about getting free is this fellow who went through this process and became free spiritually by Heath Lambert. It's called Fighting for Purity with the Power of Grace, Finally Free. Excellent resource, something that you can give your friends, you can read through, and there is hope. But every day you put it off is a day that you've got a deeper pathway in your brain that is unhealthy and that has all types of negative consequences. So you might say that, yes, pornography is poison, but it does not have to be deadly. There are antidotes, and certainly God will and does forgive. This is not the unforgivable sin. And may God deliver all of us from a society that is just caught up with this often addictive behavior that can deprive someone from purity of heart and mind and steal from them true intimacy and a healthy sexual relationship in the way that God intended. So people can't get over this. Many people have, but they need to deal with it seriously, and especially you parents, please protect your children from being exposed to this, especially at a young age. Okay, I was worried about going over, and I skipped over a bunch of stuff, and here we are, 5 minutes till. So victory, you can do it. You can have that kind of discipline. Thank you for your good attention, and may God bless you.